right, you can have a seat. Last night, I said to those watching online, you could have a seat. And I don't think that makes any sense, but if you happen to be standing and you're watching online, go ahead and have a seat. And we're so glad that you're here. Those of you that are here online with us, we have a community that's obviously part of our local church here that we know that with time that you will be coming back. We're so glad that you can join us online. Our global community that joins us every week online, we're just so welcome. We're just so glad to have you. So welcome today. And for those of you there in the blue seats, welcome. Some of you are here maybe for the first time. We're so glad that you are here with us. There's a lot of stuff that is happening around this place in December, and we want you to be aware of it. So take a look at this.
Hey Fairfax, a couple of quick announcements for you. If you are new here, we would love to get to know you. If you're in person, make sure that you stop by the welcome table on your way out. If you're watching online, make sure that you let somebody know in the chat that you're here. At Fairfax, we believe that we were meant to do life together. Whether you've been here for years or you're new around this place, there is a group for you. All of our groups are meeting online during this time. You can visit our website to find a list of groups available. Another way to get connected with us is through our Vomo app. We have a ton of service opportunities that are happening this Christmas season. You can find opportunities like decorating the church building or serving your local community all on our Vomo app. The moment that we've all been waiting for is here. Registration is now open for the entire Christmas season. In addition to our 5 Christmas Eve services, we have 2 very special events that have become traditions around this place and are gonna make December at Fairfax one that you and your family won't soon forget. Carols at Fairfax is an outdoor caroling event for the entire family happening Wednesday, December 2nd at 7 p.m. Come join Fairfax Kids and Fairfax Worship for carols, games, and fun for the entire family. This is an in-person event only, so make sure that you register in advance. Advent Prayer is a dual-platform meditative night of prayer and worship happening Wednesday, December 9th at 7 p.m. Come kick off the Advent season in community with others who are also seeking Jesus this Christmas season. Special in-person programming will be happening for elementary students only in person. Make sure that you register in advance. Our amazing Fairfax Kids team has also put together Advent adventure boxes for you and your family to prepare for the Christmas season. Head on over to our website to reserve yours today. Last but certainly not least are our Christmas Eve services. You'll have 5 worship experiences to choose from, both online and in person. You have 1 o'clock, 2:30, 4, 5:30, and 7 p.m. We are so excited to worship with you and your family all day long. There will be special elementary and preschool programming available in person throughout all 5 services. Make sure that you register you and your family in advance. We are so excited for all that's to come. See you soon, Fairfax.
All right, yeah, you can celebrate that. So it's going to be an amazing December around this place. And we've got some, just as Kayla was talking about, just some incredible events. And here's what I would encourage you to do is all the events are events that you have to register for. And we opened the registration for those this last week, and we've never seen the response that we're already getting for all of those events, for Fairfax, carols at Fairfax, and for Advent prayer, for our Christmas Eve services already. So I would just encourage you, don't wait to get signed up, because I think those are going to fill up pretty fast, and we're just going to have an amazing, amazing Christmas around this place. So I'm excited about this weekend. I've been looking forward to this weekend for a long time. We're wrapping up a series called The Messiah. It's been a study in the Gospel of Mark, and we've been looking at Mark's declaration that Jesus is this long-awaited king, this long-awaited Messiah that is going to come and set things right and deal with oppression and injustice and brokenness in the world. And we've been kind of navigating through that over the last 5 weeks. But wrapping this up this weekend is a very, very special friend of mine, and a very special friend of this church. Many of you know Camille Melke. Camille is the founder of an organization called Heart for Lebanon that we have been partnering with for over a decade now, an organization that provides what Camille calls transactional relief, relational relief, and transformational relief to those that are on the fringe, oftentimes, of culture, and particularly for the refugee community that has come initially from Iraq and then has come more recently from Syria, providing the practical love of Christ to folks, but entering into authentic relationships and seeing people transformed by the gospel. It's an amazing organization, and Camille is an absolutely amazing leader. I say this every time that Camille is with us. When I hang around him, I just learn. My leadership quotient just goes up. And so it's so incredible to have Camille here to be our guest speaker and to wrap up this series and to give you a glimpse of what God is doing in some other places around the world that will quicken your spirit and excite your soul. And so we're so thankful to have Camille here, but also we're thankful to have his wife, Hoda, and his daughter, Amy, with us as well. And I know both of you are going to hate that I'm going to do what I'm about to do, but if you guys would just stand up and look this way, and would you all welcome Hoda and Amy here? And then I want you to give a huge Fairfax welcome to Camille Melke as he comes and shares with us today.
Good morning, Fairfax Church. Wow, what a welcome. I hope I don't disappoint you, Rod. He set up the bar quite high, that's for sure. It's so great to be back in the U.S. It's amazingly wonderful to have even the privilege to travel again. But for those of you like me who hate to wear a face mask, let me tell you, if you travel from Qatar to D.C., you'll have to wear it for 14 consecutive hours. And on top of that, you have to wear a face shield. I felt like I'm in outer space for a long, long time. So it was great to land and get it off, and thankful again for the privilege and the opportunity to be with you all today and yesterday. Fairfax Church is our family, is our church. You are our brothers and sisters. Every time we travel, it's a great blessing to have the opportunity to be with you and to worship with you. So thank you again for this opportunity. And speaking of travel, if you're like me and have little kids or had little kids and you travel a lot, when you come home, you look forward for this one word, Daddy. You know, I've traveled a lot and amazingly never missed the opportunity to wait for that one second where I hear our two girls or one of them, whomever is awake, to scream that one word, Daddy. And that daddy word summarizes all their feeling as I was traveling. We missed you, Daddy. What took you so long? We love you. It was tough not having you around. Mommy missed you. And there were some other statements in it. Daddy, what do you have in this bag for us? What did you buy and shop for us? And sometimes the big daddy word was more for the bags I carry than for me coming in the house. But no matter what, I loved so much hearing that warm, exciting welcome. I loved so much to know that I'm desired to be back home. And my kids and my wife look forward for having me back. Now, of course, this was in the past when they were little. Now I hear basically, hi. And that is even pre-COVID. Now it's, are you healthy? If not, quarantine for 14 days. And it has happened once again. Whatever it is, don't we all love to be welcomed? And I believe Mark chapter 13, verse 26, is Jesus telling these disciples of his, and for us eventually, that there will be that one day we will see him coming and we will have that time of celebration. Mark chapter 13, verse 26 reads as this: at that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Basically, it's Jesus announcing to his disciples, that day will come, and I will be coming with all my glory, and you will see me coming in this cloud with this power of mine, and you will scream, Daddy. Basically, announcing the King is coming. Jesus Christ is returning. The Son of Man is coming back. Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, will come again. But in that verse also, we see in the first three words, it says, at that time. And it doesn't take us much to realize that Jesus is setting the time in which we will recognize his coming back. If you read through chapter 13, you realize that there are going to be a lot of challenges, a lot of persecution, a lot of hatred, a lot of fears. And it's in that time. It is in that time when we feel we are broken and fearful, when we feel that emotions are taking over us and worries are controlling us. It is in that time that Christ the King is coming. You know, I had that feeling not long ago in August 4th when the port of Beirut exploded with what is considered today the largest non-nuclear explosion in history, which means in the whole world there has been no explosions all throughout history that have caused more death and destruction except the nuclear bomb. In a few seconds, back in October 4th, 330,000 families were made homeless. In a few seconds, $14 billion of destruction was caused by this explosion. Hundreds of people lost their lives. Tens of thousands of people were injured. And more so, hope was shattered. It's at that time, as I was driving back to Beirut, trying to see and recognize if there's anything we can do. An hour after the explosion, I'm driving over rubbles, looking around me. I'm seeing people dead on the streets, people injured, looking stunned, and expecting any help they can receive. It's in that time that I screamed out and I said, Jesus, King of Kings, give me a flicker of hope. You know, when you're in the midst of this, I think in here in the U.S. you have this statement that, you know, you're in a deer who hits the front lights. You stand and you freeze and you feel like the world has taken a good part of you and you feel like you are almost defeated and scared to death and ready to give up. And I said, I don't want to give up, Jesus. Give me a flicker of hope. I want to wake up tomorrow and I want to do good. And I want to respond to this hatred with love. I want to respond to this brokenness with reconciliation. I want to respond with fear, with care. But I need to see you coming back. I wrote an email a day or two after this explosion, and I said it felt like there is a dark cloud of despair over Beirut. And there is no hope, no hope, but in Jesus Christ. And definitely, we see that as we continue to read the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, and I'm reading from verse 32. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at night, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn, if he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. But I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. What beautiful words. Again, though we don't know the time, the hour, the setting in which it will happen, we know one thing, and we are made sure of that one thing, that Jesus is returning. The King is coming. The Son of Man will come back. Christ the Messiah will be with us in person again. And you see, in those few verses I read, there are two facts and one unknown. We spoke about that one unknown. That one unknown is the time, the day. We as human beings, me, I'd love to know. I want to be exactly sure at the time and the hour and the setting in which Jesus will return. But what Jesus is telling us, it does not matter. It does not really matter for your well-being. What matters is that you stay alert. You stay on guard and you stay watching, knowing and being assured that I will come back. You see, there's that one unknown, but there are those two beautiful facts. One fact is not so beautiful. Not so beautiful because it is a fact that Jesus is telling us in that time you will be persecuted. And people will hate you. And you will experience hardship. In fact, if we read through Chapter 13, just skip a few words here. It says, not one stone here will be left on another. You see, the chapter begins with these disciples looking at this beautiful temple and pointing out this grandiose buildings around Jesus and say, Jesus, isn't that beautiful? And he said, yes, it is, but not one stone, not one stone will stay standing. Everyone will be thrown down. And then skip a few more verses. It says, now, watch out, because people will deceive you. Later on, he says, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Nations will rise against nations and kingdom against kingdoms. You will be handed over to the local councils and flagged in the synagogues. They will arrest you and bring you to trial. I'm skipping here verses. I'm just summarizing that chapter. And then he says in verse 12, brothers will betray brothers to death, and a father his child. Children would rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Everyone will hate you because of me. When you read those verses early in chapter 13, you would think that Jesus is painting this dark reality. Well, in fact, he's just expressing the reality, but he wants to assure us that second fact. And that second fact is that despite all of that, despite all those fears, despite all that persecution, despite all the people that hate you and that want to put you in prison, despite of those who want to see you dead, I am coming, and be assured of that. And be assured that I will come in my glory. I will come with my strength. I will come and I will show the world who I am. I am the Savior. I am the Messiah. I am Jesus, King of Kings and Prince of Peace. It's those words and in that setting that Jesus was telling his disciples and eventually us, rest assured, I am coming back. And with that, I wonder what kind of a welcoming packet do we have for the King of Kings? You know, back to my kids, when I used to travel, I come back, and with the help of their mother, they would prepare a welcome packet for me. In it, there are some beautiful paintings and drawings they have made. In fact, in some cases, if they're proud of their grades, they would slip in their grade report, and sometimes they would hide other grade reports on me. They will put some candy and some pictures. They will put a lot of things in that welcome packet. They want to make sure I know they thought of me when I was away. And they want to make sure that I feel welcomed. So my question to us, similar today, is what kind of a welcome packet are we preparing for the King of Kings as he returns. What kind of welcome packet do we have? And we are preparing. And I believe we can put one of three types of welcome packets. And believe me, even before I get through them, I have felt as if I was in one of each at a time in my life. One would be this welcome packet of being indifferent, having a passiveness towards what's going around us. The word in French is m'enfichisse, which means careless. Again, it's like this deer in a headlight. The world stuns you. The challenges scare you enough that you would just freeze in life. And you would say, I can no longer take it, so I'm going to be indifferent to what's going around me. I'm going to be indifferent to the injustices the world is experiencing. I'm going to be indifferent to the hatred and the racial divide that our countries are going through. I'm going to be indifferent for the economic crisis that the other societies, or even mine, is going through. If I'm okay, I'm fine. If I'm not okay, I'm fine. But I don't care what's happening around me. There are those moments where we feel so much pressure that the only thing we fill in our welcome packet is indifference. Complete carelessness to what's happening around us. There's another set of welcome packets that is even worse. We fill it up with defeat, with surrender, with fear. And we act as if we have believed, and most probably we have believed, that Jesus was defeated, and we forgot that he has defeated Satan on the cross, and that he rose again from the dead after 3 days, and now that he is alive and he is on his throne, we act as if we have lost the war, and in fact we should be living and celebrating that the battle is over, and now we are waiting for his return to welcome us all in and usher us into the kingdom of heaven. But there are so much difficulties around us. There's so much brokenness around us. There are so many fears around us. So we give up and we surrender. I don't know about you, Fairfax, but I can tell you there are moments where I had to fight the giving up in me. I have to go down on my knees and I say, God, I don't want to give up. But everything around me forces me to hand over my weapons and surrender. And in fact, on October 4th, that night, when I went back home, I prayed that one prayer. Of course, I couldn't sleep, so it was an awake night, all night long, thinking about all the images I have seen and all the destruction I have experienced and all the brokenness that is around me and all the people that are suffering bodily injuries and the loss of their loved ones. And I said, Jesus, I don't want to surrender. Give me a flicker of hope. Give me a flicker of hope every morning. Every morning, I want one flicker of hope. 12 hours later, the explosion happened at 6:07 p.m. on August 4th, 12 hours later. I thought, naive me, I'll be the only one cleaning up debris, and all 65 of our staff, whether they're Lebanese or Syrian refugees or people from other nations, have gathered and we divided in 5 groups, cleaning up debris. That was the first flicker of hope I had. The explosion happened on Tuesday. On Sunday, I got a beautiful text message picture accompanied with it on my phone, and I had to ask, help me understand what this picture means. I saw in that picture refugees from Syria lined up to put the little they have in a love offering basket and saying, here, Heart for Lebanon, take this little we have. Individuals who have fled their homes with nothing as possessions on them. And the very little they had, were turning it in. Take that and use it to help repair homes and churches of the host communities. If that's not a flicker of hope, I'm not sure what I was looking for then. And then fast forward a few days later, though the government of Lebanon has failed its people, the body of Christ worldwide has not, and you, Fairfax Church, you have showed up, and you have showed up big in your prayers and in your support, in your encouragement, in your emails, in your letters, in your phone calls. I knew that we have a family that is of Christ that is standing next to us. Your generosity, your giving, your sacrificial giving made a big difference. And if that is not a flicker of hope, then what am I looking for? Because of your giving, and because of the giving of others like you, Heart for Lebanon has been able to repair 83 homes. And we have partnered with 28 local churches to help repair not only their places of worship, but through them to help repair also other homes of people who go to those churches. We also have helped and been able to repair 6 Christian schools. And through those 6 Christian schools, offer 350 scholarships to students who needed the most. 6,000 food packages and non-food items were given, essential items for the survival of the families that God has called us to serve. All that in addition to the work and ministry that we have among the Syrian refugees in the Bekaa Valley and in southern Lebanon. But that, without proclaiming the gospel, is useless. What excited me the most is that in the midst of all these challenges that we are facing and all the difficulties that we're going through, our team in the Bekaa Valley and our team in southern Lebanon were working very hard on continuing to disciple men and women, believers who have come to Christ from a Muslim background, Kurdish background, Arabs, and non-Arabs all together coming and declaring Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And right before we flew out of Beirut coming to the U.S., that same day, hours before we boarded our flight, I got a call from our team, and we said, we need to have a baptism. I said, can it wait till I come back? They said, of course not, because there will be another batch of men and women coming from all walks of faith who would want to declare openly and boldly Christ as their personal Savior. And we had that beautiful baptism. For security reasons, you're going to see only a few of those pictures behind me. And we're not going to put everyone, 18 of them, 17 of those come from a Muslim background. And we had, to God all the glory, and we had to be very careful and very aware of all the security and safety issues around us. The men and women you see in this baptism pool are the ones I'd like to highlight. This is a man and woman who came from Syria, from a Kurdish background, have been experiencing so much hardship and so much persecution. They come to our team in southern Lebanon and not only been fed physically and cared for emotionally, but they heard the gospel for the first time in their life. And then for several circumstances, they had to move to the Bekaa Valley. So our team leader in southern Lebanon calls our team leader in the Bekaa and hands him the baton and said, now it's your role to continue reaching out to this family and disciple them and sharing the gospel with them. They accept Christ as their personal Savior there. And what I love most in this baptism picture is our both team leaders from the Bekaa and southern Lebanon together in this baptistry, baptizing a man and woman. It takes all of us to realize that in our welcome packet, we have one choice to make. It's either defeat or surrender. It's either apathy or indifference, or the choice to fill it up with hope, triumph, jubilation, excitement, anticipation, knowing that the King is coming. The King is returning. Christ the Savior, the Lord of Lords, will be with us again. That is a fact and an assurance. And the question, are you ready? Am I ready to welcome him and to invite him back, not over our lives, but this time over the world and the lives of all, that he would usher us and take us into his presence, that we stand justified by the work at the cross. And as we stand in front of the Father, he will welcome us in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. The King is coming. May my and your welcome packet be filled with flickers of hope and great excitement and anticipation that we will welcome him with open arms, calling him Daddy. Welcome back. Let me pray. Oh, Father, how easy it is in this year to give up. How easy it is in this year to surrender and accept defeat. But we are so grateful, so very grateful for your everlasting promises and your assurance that you will come back in your glory, with your strength, and grant us eternal life. Thank you for this beautiful church, for this great community of faith. Thank you for all they do in here in Fairfax, around the states, and around the globe, to keep sharing hope in the midst of despair, and a reminder that we are the children of the living God. We praise you and honor you today. And with great anticipation, wait for your return again so that we stand justified in your presence. Amen.